The Real Estate Revolution is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary, and all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important.
With the latest in real estate news, you can learn all the facts that will keep you on the track and use them any way you choose.
And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera, and her co-host, Scott Forsino. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution. Hi, we are back, folks. I'm Scott Forsino, and Victoria Riva De Nera is away on assignment with her company at Regional Convention. We have a pretty big show tonight. As you know, today's Martin Luther King Day. And we are here to celebrate the life and some of the legacy of Dr. King. And we're going to have a conversation about the fair housing laws. We have I'll introduce Mr. Mark Seiden, who is a local real estate broker. And let me have your card there. With, of course, the Mark Seiden team in
Briarcliff Manor.
So say hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark. I know, that's an old joke.
Repeat after me.
That's right.
State your name.
Uh-huh.
So Mark tonight is going to give us the nitty-gritty. I'm going to read some quotes from Dr. King and how that the civil rights movement leader led to the fair housing laws that we have as far as protecting consumers in this country. But there's another piece of news that I know Mark may or may not have had a hand in. And it's far across the country, but I understand there is a specific premises for sale for $200 million. And I understand it is the crown jewel of LA's Platinum Triangle, 5 picturesque acres. It is 20,000 square feet, and it is an ultimate setting, as they say, for large scale entertaining. It has a zoo license. And I've been told there's a cave-like grotto where Playboy bunnies have long, not my words, frolicked with guests. You want to guess where that is, Mr. Seiden?
Gee golly willikers, could it possibly be the Hugh Hefner estate in California?
That's right, it is. And I can't give the MLS numbers, too long. But well, there's questions about the valuation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another, have you heard about the one little kind of caveat? Little bit of a little known asterisk that goes with the property.
Oh yeah, he wants a lack of a better expression, a little bit of a life estate going there. That whoever buys the place, that Hugh has the legal right to live, stay there, and entertain there until his ultimate demise.
Well, he's 89,
So
he doesn't have that much we wonder.
I don't know. He could last forever.
Right? He's probably been preserved.
Uh-huh.
I think it would be great to have him around for just the stories. I mean, you never heard the stories he has.
Yeah,
I don't know
if that's worth an extra $150 million out of the $200 million he's asking.
They say, I heard it needs some work, but I mean, he's probably heard about all the work that was done there before. So how would you market that?
Oh, my... Who knows? I'd probably market it knowing that if he needed to stay there, I think we'd have to add to that life estate that not only does he stay there, but there'd probably have to be a minimum of 20 to 50 Playboy bunnies and parties going on all the time. And then you'd probably get a lot more buyers at that moment.
I'd like to attend the open house.
Especially on New Year's and Halloween.
Right. Well, there is 29 rooms and a 4-bedroom guest house, so wow, okay. So there would be plenty of opportunity to...
Well, you know what would be really interesting is that if someone bought it and he was going to stay there, I guess the big question is it just you know, Hugh staying there, or is it going to be used for all the parties and everything?
Of course.
Yeah, so.
That goes without saying, the entourage or the hangers-on or the wannabes or the celebrities like a Kato Kaelin or something like that.
I got to tell you, it'd be a pretty interesting endeavor, but I think at that price, I think he's been smoking too much of his own stuff in that house if you think he's going to get that money.
Well, we're going to follow that, and I'd love to know who ultimately, what's that commission? $200 million?
I don't know. That's a lot of zeros. That would be...
I'm trying to think. 1% is the 200,000?
No, keep going. 1% is 2 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
1% is 2 million.
Right. So
you'd even cut your commission for this deal, I hope.
Cut commission? Are you using profanities on this show
now? That's right.
Now?
We can't discuss commission, but cutting it for $200 million.
No.
Okay, well, that's exciting. When a more serious topic is, of course, today's the day that's been celebrated, and today's been Martin Luther King Day since 1983. And, of course, some of Dr. King's contribution has led to equality and fairness between the races, and now it's been expanded into our fair housing right anti-housing discriminations, Fair Housing Act, and the Americans with Disabilities Act. So we're going to ask Mark. I know he is also a teacher. Before I introduce you, would you explain that your new assignment regarding your new teaching position?
Oh, sure. So along with running my brokerage, the Mark Seiden Real Estate Team in Barcliff Manor, I've actually been selected by a very well-renowned coach, Vera Workman, who owns and runs Workman Success out of Utah. And they do one-on-one coaching for real estate agents. So it's not just for companies. Actually, it's not for companies. It's really for the one-on-one agent all over the country. So if a real estate agent really wants to take their business to the next level and really does not know how to do it, that's what I'm going to be doing. So I'm going to be coaching nationally on a one-on-one basis agents that want to step it up a notch and do better in their business. And we're, you know, constantly getting new clients every day almost.
Okay, I have one. I'm glad we got the right guy. Mark is a Cornell graduate. Okay, that's up in upstate New York, for those that don't know. He did his postgrad at UC Berkeley. He has started very recently in real estate in 1993. Scott, were you born in 1993?
Oh, great, terrific.
You just made it, okay. Mm-hmm. And he was the number one agent at Coldwell Banker for six straight years, 97 and 2002. And he owned his own agency, Mark Seiden Real Estate, in May 2003. He's been the top agent in 2004 to 14. That's 10 years, consisting of over 8,500 agents.
And now it's up to 10,000, believe it.
10,000. Yeah. For selling single-family homes, and number one agent 2008 and 2014, the combination of listing and buyer-side transaction. So I know who I'm going to for a loan. And of course, that's why we're happy to have someone with these credentials and background able to assist us with this topic. So now, fair housing, Mark, is a big thing now, would you say? And based on the expansion of some of the categories, would you give us even the categories?
Sure. It is a very big thing. And unfortunately, there are real estate agents that are violating this literally on a daily basis. And there's, I'd say, of all probably the lawsuits or things brought up against real estate agents from the general public, it's probably more on fair housing than anything else. So this really is things that agents really need to take seriously. But there's basically, at least in this area, three different categories, if we could say, for the fair housing laws. There's federal, there's state, and there's even some in Westchester County. There's also different guidelines in New York City. And what I mean by different, I don't mean, you know, instead of. So if someone's doing real estate in New York City, they have to follow federal, state. They certainly don't have to look at the Westchester County guidelines, but they would certainly have to look at the New York City guidelines. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, those New York City guidelines are much larger than the Westchester County guidelines.
Sure. Who are covered? What kind of classes are protected under these fair housing laws?
Under federal, we call them the basics. Race, color, religion and creed, sex and gender, national origin, disability, that's physical or mental, and familial status.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into New York State. And remember, every state is different. They may have some that are the same, but in New York State, it's marital status, age, sexual orientation, military status, And now there's a new one for 2016, which I am sure we're going to discuss a little bit tonight. And it's actually not by statute. So there's a new one in New York State that's by executive order by the governor, and that's gender identity.
So that's fluid.
That's
and I don't mean fluid, actually. I mean fluid, it moves.
It is. And again, that's not by statute or law. That's by executive order. So for all the attorneys out there, how that would be enforced and what does that mean, I'll be the first one to tell you that's above my pay grade. But I will tell you it is something we are not going to violate because I do not want to be the test case in New York State. And then there's Westchester County, and that's citizenship or alien status, victims of domestic violence, sexual abuse, and stalking even. And even things called sources of income. Sources of income happen to be not if someone's getting paid, 1099 or getting paid W-2. That's not sources of income. Sources of income usually means some sort of government assistant-based. Social Security, SSI, SSDI, housing choice vouchers, Section 8, and other sorts of housing aid. And a lot of that, believe it or not, it may not be for purchases, but it could be for rentals. So everything that we're talking about for fair housing is for both purchase and rentals.
That would make sense. So who is subject to these rules? Is it, of course, just sellers and landlords? Brokers are obviously involved in the transactions. Let me know what a for sale by owner should be aware of. What extent does it apply to them?
Well, actually, it applies to all for sale by owners. Where some things may or may not apply would be for landlords, depending on how many units they have. Now, again, for example, I'll give you an example. If someone is renting a house, let's say this, I'll use the little old lady rule. If a little old lady is living in a house and she has a two-family house and she wants to rent the other half, she is allowed to discriminate on many of these, especially sex and gender. So if she doesn't want to have another male living next to her, she's allowed to discriminate for that to being a landlord because due to her own feel of safety. When it comes to purchasing, there are no exceptions to that kind of rule.
So some male who's similarly feeble, shall we say, doesn't have that right to discriminate in the basis of gender?
Yes. And again, he could also do that too. But you can't discriminate in only wanting the opposite sex. So, and again, this would be something that I would tell you if anybody really has any questions. The experts on the planet, especially in Westchester County, is Westchester Residential Opportunities. They are in White Plains. And if you need a phone number, it's 914-428-4507. They are the ones that you would really go to. And I can't tell you that I'm an expert on all the exceptions to the rule when it comes to rentals, but there are quite a few of them depending on whether you're renting six or fewer units or over six units when it comes to rentals. For example, if you have an apartment building and there's seven units or more, you are not a landlord is not allowed to discriminate based on sources of income. If someone has a two-family house and they don't want to take Section 8, they have a right not to do Section 8. So when it comes to exceptions to the rule, it's really the rentals that have some exceptions. When it comes to purchases, yeah, there are no exceptions.
But you said two things that I found interesting. You mentioned people who are victims of domestic abuse or aliens. I think, not like E.T., but you mean illegal aliens from other countries, right?
That's correct. Believe it or not, if they have the income and opportunity to purchase, you can't violate. And especially for victims for domestic violence. And what does that mean? Well, again, some of the things don't really go into that much for purchase, but it may go into a rental. So here's the example. There have been some landlords that have felt that if someone's been a victim of domestic violence, they don't want to rent to them only because they're afraid
retribution,
that if someone comes in and now there's going to be violence at their place, and under the law, you're not allowed to, you can feel that way, but you're not allowed to react that way.
Let me ask you this. How do you ferret that out? Would a landlord be under some burden? Let's say you're a client, you're the listing broker of someone with a two-family home. Would you advise them to ask questions that would adduce the information, such as, are you a battered victim? Are you, what do you call it, domestic abuse victim? Are you not from this country? I mean, you know, how do you find that out?
That's a really great question. And usually what happens is, well, there's two things. One is, as an agent for the state, and all agents are agents for the state, the answer is no. We can't advise our landlords or sellers to ask any leading questions directly to the other side to see if we can get that. That would be aiding and abetting bad news. But sometimes people do just volunteer it. So if it's volunteered, the answer is I'm not going to present it to the other side because I'm not allowed to do anything, you know, against. And I always tell people, here's the burden, which most people understand. If I have a client and the client is black, would I ever tell the other side that, hey, I have a black client?
No.
Of course, everyone would say no. Well, the same burden holds true to everything that I just mentioned. So even though some may be, but I don't understand, I mean, would you say it? Could you say it? And the answer is, if you wouldn't say that a client is black, if you wouldn't say that a client is Asian, if you wouldn't say that a client is Catholic or Jewish, then you also can't say that a client is anything on any of the lists that I talked about.
Okay, so you wouldn't, so in those two examples, those stick out at me, you wouldn't ask the question whether someone is a victim of domestic abuse or violence or whether they're illegal alien, but if told, then you're under a burden to not let that be a reason that they couldn't be there.
Well, that's correct. Like, for example, under federal law, familial status, and that all has to do with whether people have children or not. So the answer is, if people want to know whether any of my clients have a child, I can't answer that question.
Or single, right? Is that
or single or anything. So there are people who said, but look, I really want my house to have someone with children because I want the neighborhood with children. Well, it may be what you want, but protected is protected. And the burden that I always go is I always go back to the easy burden. If someone was a specific color, could you say that to the other person? And everyone says, well, of course not. Well, the same burden holds true to everything on the list. Hmm. And there's no, pardon the color thing, there's no gray here. It's black or white.
I got it. Well, let's leave off on that. We'll have a quick break for our sponsors. Thank you.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138. Or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step step in the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. AnnieMack won't just get you a mortgage, they will get you the right mortgage for you. Call AnnieMack Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. AnnieMack Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS 338923. AnnieMack Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call AnnieMack.
Hi, we're back with Mark Seiden. As Mark and I were discussing just over the break, there are a lot of categories that really are a matter of interpretation. Some of these protected classes, such as mental incapacity or even habits like drug abuse or so, might be covered. And really the burden is on the broker to represent the client effectively but not violate these laws. It is, would you say, Mark, it's a bit of a tightrope?
It is a little bit of a tightrope, and what I always tell real estate agents is, you know, if it's on the tightrope, you be conservative, which means if you think there's any gray and you're unsure, then you make sure that you err on conservatism. I don't even know if that's a word, but just be conservative, because if you go on the other side, it's much worse if you violate. See, this is what I when I teach this to people. I try to put things in perspective. Here's the perspective. We live in the United States. Do you know what's really great in the United States? You're allowed to discriminate. You're allowed to discriminate. I want to eat Chinese food. No, I don't. I decide I want to go Mexican food. No, I don't. I want to wear green sneakers. No, I won't. I want to run around practically naked most of the time. That's okay. No, I don't. I want to dress up. There are very few restrictions in the United States. You're allowed to discriminate on who you want to marry. You can pick who you want to marry. It doesn't have to be race, creed, color. That's personal. Mm-hmm. But in the United States, it's a free-for-all. You can discriminate. Ready? Except on protected classes.
Mm-hmm.
So the federal, state, and county, since we're in Westchester County, has said, do what you want. If you decide, I'll give you another example. If you are a landlord and you don't want to have a musician in your rentals because you think they're going to practice the trumpet at 2 a.m., okay, it's legal. You can refuse and it's not a protected class. If you decide that you're a landlord and you don't want to rent to musicians, it's legal.
How about a lawyer?
Absolutely legal.
To discriminate against
them. Sure. Would you like to know why?
Tell me.
Do you see anything on this list that I read that profession is a protected class?
No.
There you go. That's why you read in New York City sometimes that co-op boards will deny and make it public, we are not going to honor or allow a sale to actors. They don't want any actors in their building. Even though they can afford it, they could pay cash, and they probably could pay cash for all the units in the co-op. It's not whether they are able. They don't want to because they have a fear of paparazzi that as soon as one actor does something bad, suddenly mm-hmm. they're going to be photographers all around, and they don't want to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Profession is not a protected class. Unfortunately, trumpet players are not a protected class. People who wear green sneakers, it's not a protected class. So what people need to understand in the United States is it's a free-for-all. Discriminate all you want, with an exception. Now, employees, as an employer employee, they have all separate set of protected classes where a lot of them overlap, but a lot of them don't. That's another conversation you can have where there's employer employee. This comes to fair housing. Fair housing has its own protected classes. Mortgage companies, aren't they allowed to discriminate?
Against people not qualified.
Well, what's qualified?
Meeting their guidelines.
Meeting the guidelines. Income. If someone wants to buy an $800,000 house and they only make $60,000 a year, is the bank allowed to legally discriminate against a person who makes $60,000 a year with no cash in the bank and not give them a loan for an $800,000 house?
Yes.
It's discrimination based on income.
Mm-hmm.
It's legal.
Right.
So discrimination is legal in the United States. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Unless it's against a protected class.
Okay.
These are the protected classes when it comes to fair housing.
So as I'm sure an anecdote that you dealt with and your company's dealt with over the time, what happens when people ask about schools or crime or even the new hot topic is sexual offenders living nearby? What is a broker? What should a do and what should a client expect if they say, how are the schools, Mr. Seiden? I mean, how are they around here?
You know, that's probably one of the best questions that gets asked of me and real estate agents. And I will tell you that agents, unfortunately, violate this all the time.
How so?
Because agents are not allowed to talk about the school districts at all unless they have experienced a school district with their child being directly in it. And then they can talk about their experience in that school district. But if they ask you about, what about the schools here, here, and here? The answer is, they're all great. Would you like me to set up a time for you to meet with the superintendent, assistant superintendent, or here are four or five or six websites that you can go on to do your own research. But for people to say this school district's great, you know, the school district is really not great. Well, why wouldn't the school district be great? I'll give you an example because I live in the Ossining School District. I love the Ossining School District, in case anybody wants to know. But the Ossining School District is really interesting. If you look at the statistics, okay, on the average number of kids that go to a four-year college, it's lower than some of the other school districts. But if you also look at the statistics of how many Intel Science winners there have been, mm-hmm. semifinalists, finalists, nationally, the Ossining School District actually blows away, are you ready for this, every school district in Westchester County.
Why is that?
They just have a – no, they have a really strong science research department, and they really lead Westchester County. So when someone says, well, the Ossining schools are not great, great on what specific criteria? Well, if you want to talk about the average number of kids going to a four-year college, it may not be as higher ranked than other school districts. If you want to know the ones going to Intel Science Research, I guess all the other schools should close. So which one line of statistics, and there's probably 842 of them that someone can look at, do you want to look at?
Mm-hmm.
How many college level courses that you can get, college courses, how many AP courses? And all school districts are very different, no matter how they rank on another ranking. So what we tell people is, if you want to know about the schools, here's a link to the school district, here's a link to these companies that rank school districts. But if they rank them, they have a whole bunch of different criteria that you can read. So what's important to you?
I see. And the same thing with crime statistics, or how's it safe here?
Well, that's correct. And the interesting thing about crime is that crime is not a protected class, but if you kind of – it's a slippery slope, because if you start talking about crime and then there's some neighborhoods that have more crime than other neighborhoods, but if in that crime – but if in that area – if – I'm not saying it is – if that area is a different demographic, well, now you're impinging on the whole demographic on – you know, race, creed, color, whatever, you don't want to go down that. So again, if you want to know about crime statistics, here's the wonderful thing that buyers can do now. And I invented it with Al Gore.
The internet. Right.
So right now, you really don't need a real estate agent to give you any of that information. You can research anything you want. There's probably only about 847 websites that you can look at on anything that you want to research.
So that's really out of the realtor's purview at this point.
It should be. I'm not telling you there aren't a lot of them that volunteer a lot of information, because they know that their clients want to help and they want to be there for everybody. But the answer is you can't. You should be there with the resource of where they can get the information.
Right.
But you can't be the resource of the information.
Interesting. Yeah, you said that before.
And that's where agents get in trouble.
One topic I want to ask about is the advertisements for homes.
Have I seen great ones.
So give us some examples. I've seen Walk to Worship, and that means something.
Right.
I've seen great family.
But Walk to which worship?
Right. Well, maybe those that walk to worship.
Which worship?
I understand. There's all kinds.
Okay, there you go.
They worship Starbucks.
Listen, I know, but my wife worships Starbucks.
I know.
But
that there's a,
when it says walk to worship, what worship?
Nothing said specifically. Or a great family.
Now, what
home.
About if someone is not of that religion and their worship is 2 miles farther? So is it walk to worship? Or are you now skewing people to say, well, if there happens to be a church or synagogue of that variety, well, now you're saying that, well, this religion are the people who should buy this house because you can walk to that worship. Whee! Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait till the Westchester Residential Opportunities starts knocking on your door.
Well, what are some other misstated or incorrect, would you say, words or phrases were used in advertisements?
Perfect for families.
Oh, right.
Great family neighborhood. Lots of children. Now, I've had a lot of people say, well, Mark, you know, I have young children or we're pregnant or whatever, and we want... See, a buyer is allowed to say what they want. And I want to make this clear. Buyers can discriminate however they want to discriminate. If they don't want to be around a certain race, religion, color, they're allowed to make that discrimination. They can even make that discrimination public to you.
Mm-hmm.
You, as a real estate agent, just can't do anything with it. So we get people all the time that say, look, I'd like to be in a neighborhood with a lot of children.
Because we have kids.
Because we have kids. We want to have kids. We don't have kids. We just love to be around kids. Whatever reason they want to bring up, a buyer is allowed to say, I want to be or not want to be near anything they want. We're just not allowed to help them where that may be. So when we have people say, well, look, you know, we really like to be a lot of children, or we really like this neighborhood. Are there any children here? What we say is, take a half day off work, start at 7 o'clock in the morning, go park on the street, see how many school buses come and how many kids get picked up or dropped off, and I'd probably do it at the same time, somewhere between 2 and 4 when buses get dropped off, and you witness it yourself. Because to take it to the nth degree, what's a lot of children?
2, 9, Tim has 5. That's a lot of children.
Right. So if someone only wants the three kids, they can just park in front of Tim's house and they're happy. But what about if they want 25 kids? So what I always tell people is real estate agents have to stop assuming that a lot means whatever's a lot to the real estate agent.
Yeah.
So if Tim has 5 kids, Tim may assume that a lot of kids is 27. For someone who has 1 kid, they may assume that a lot of kids is 9.
It's 3. Even.
So the question is, what's coming off the buses? Stop attempting to be an expert of what it is. Be an expert on how people can find out. I tell clients all the time, ready? I can't answer that question. That would violate fair housing laws. But I'll tell you how you can find it out really easily. And my clients really appreciate that, as opposed to me saying, there are a lot of kids, there aren't a lot of kids. Because I'll repeat myself. What's a lot of kids?
And you may tell them something. They say, well, Mark said there's a lot. There's like 5. That's
right.
Not a lot.
And to somebody else, a 5 could be, well, God, if it's over 3, I'm happy.
True.
So send him to go sit in the school buses. If they're willing to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on an asset, where their payments, if they're getting a mortgage, could be thousands of dollars per month, you can't tell me that they're so busy that they can't take a half day off from school.
No, do your homework.
And go do your homework and go sit on a couple of streets and watch the school buses pass by.
But just don't get picked up by cops for doing that.
Well.
That's another. What about the folks? I mean, this is a big, very serious issue. Those with physical disabilities. If you're a two-family homeowner, just a kind of maybe a non-occupied landlord like that,
mm-hmm.
although you don't have the right to discriminate against anyone based on their physical needs, mm-hmm. what happens if your house has stairs and it's just not up to code as a new construction would be? Is the landlord required to modify the home to suit everyone?
You're really talking about rentals.
Rental, right. Yeah. This is
the answer is housing. Some housing is exempt under the Act if they're owner-occupied buildings or if they're buildings with fewer units. So if someone
it's not commercial.
It's right. And remember, you know, if 5 families considered commercial, 4 families still considered residential.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's 4 or fewer, and yes, there's someone who comes in with a wheelchair, the answer is no. A landlord is not required to comply with ADA laws, that's American Disabilities Act laws, to make the house subject to them, or even a single family house. No, they don't need to. If it's more of a commercial thing, 5 families up, the answer is yep.
Sure.
Quick question back to the
yes,
advertising. The advertising was family room or master bedroom. Were there rules on that?
I'm glad you brought that up. You know, it's changed.
Right.
There are times where people said family room, then family room was not allowed. So we had to play and call it a great room, a recreation room. But then Family Room came back because it was determined that if things were really, if a saying was really pretty old and it was almost like a colloquial way of saying it, it's allowed. So Family Room was great, then it was bad, now it's accepted again. Even mother-daughter. Mother and daughter was at one point okie dokie. Then for years, I'd say for at least 10 years, it was taboo. But now if you really have something that has almost like, I don't want to say separate apartment, but something that would be good if people are in the same family, nothing that for two kitchens, but would be really kind of almost a separate apartment-ish area, mm-hmm. you're allowed to say mother-daughter again. But I'm not telling you that's forever. That could change again. Who knows?
Well, we had something, I think we discussed privately at one point. This is, you know, maybe the granddaddy of them all. In New Orleans, they have, you know, what those separate quarters are called?
Oh, yeah, you told me this.
Yeah, what was slave it? Quarters.
Slave quarters.
And that was objectionable to some people, but it was now all the rage. It's like your own kind of, you really were cool if you had almost a historical home like that.
Right.
And it was really, really debated. And then people said, look, no one's offended. The buyers want it. The buyers are fighting for it
right.
because they get to have one when there are very few in a beautiful historic region. So, but that's a real, real, you know, topic. How, what do you say to a seller who wants his house described in a certain way and has to?
It's got to comply with fair housing. So if we were in New Orleans and we went to, you know, New Orleans, you know, and found out if it's legal, if slave quarters is legal, we'd put in legal. If it's not, we wouldn't.
Yeah, I would think so. Okay, let's take a quick break. Thank you, Mark. We'll come right back after these messages from our sponsors. Thank you.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138, or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
Hi, we are back. We're pleased to have Mark Seiden still with us. We discussed rentals, and in New York State and areas close to the city like Westchester and the island, Nassau County, and in the city, of course, Manhattan, these are probably the biggest source of housing is co-ops. And co-ops, I know, are shares owned within a closely held corporation. Basically, there's an ownership interest in the corporation, and then there's a leasehold. It's kind of like your fiction. It gives you the opportunity to live within 14E. So these co-ops are run by boards where, if I'm correct, members, owners are on the board, and they vote whether you're in or out. So, Mark, describe some of that process when people are buying a place. They have a ton, they're capable, but they have to apply to the board, too, and what are their judgments?
Well, that's correct. So besides, you know, looking for a place and going to contract on a place and applying for a mortgage, there's a co-op application. And the co-op applications ask a lot of information. On the co-op application, I will tell you it's all legal information. They don't ask you about race, color, religion. None of that's on the application. And they are allowed to discriminate based on income, not source of income when it's governmental, but income. And there are co-ops out there that will tell you that you will need to take whatever their monthly common charges are, multiply it by 12, plus your mortgage payment, and divide all that, and they have this whole thing, and your income has to equal that or more.
And some don't even allow any loan at all. Some need to be all cash.
Cash only. That's correct. Yeah. So they're allowed to do any of that, and they're allowed to discriminate against pets as long as the pets are not based on someone's disability. And if I'm going to throw this in, there are a lot of now pets for mental disability, not just physical disability.
So not your Labrador, but for to keep
but
you
there are pets
off the ledge.
That if there's a some sort of doctor's note that really says based on this person's mental status that they must have a dog, that dog must be allowed just as if you were going to be selling or renting to someone who's blind and they had, you know, a seeing eye dog.
Right.
But going back to topic, so a co-op says this application. So I want to make a blanket statement. Co-op boards are not allowed to discriminate based on any of the federal, state, or Westchester County, if you're in Westchester, New York City, if you're New York City, fair housing laws. They are not allowed to discriminate. Would you like to know what the hole in the system is?
Please.
Great. If you're denied from a co-op board, at least in New York State, there is no law that compels the co-op board to give a reason for denial. So if you're a trumpet player, they can tell you – I've been picking on the trumpet players.
Yeah.
So I hope trumpet players, I do love you. If you're a trumpet player and you're denied being a trumpet player because they may think you're going to practice at 2 a.m. no matter how much you tell them you won't, they can tell you that you were denied because of that, or they don't have to tell you anything. But the reverse happens. If they decide – if someone on the board decides to not accept your application – and to accept you, and it's due to violating any of these federal, state, or Westchester County laws, they are not compelled to tell you why you're denied. So if you're denied, you're denied.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to have to prove they discriminated against you because they can't tell you why. Not they can't. They won't tell you why they denied you. It's a huge issue in the co-op acceptance when it comes to real estate.
Well, I know that Suffolk County in Eastern Long Island passed the law that allows at least consumers who are denied to inquire. That's not true in Westchester. So that's the first thing. And the second is, I guess if you felt discriminated against, you'd have to bring an action and attempt to compel someone to tell you why. It's scary. I had a client who, this is a funny story, was denied. She called me crying. And I must tell you, she was a really former top model. And she put in her application. It was just around the mid to late spring. The pool was getting ready to open. There were three or four women on the board. There was one man. He said, I voted yes, but the four hens said, no way is she walking around the pool this summer. And
you know what the interesting thing is?
She was discriminated against.
Hotness
is not a protected class.
There you go. Therefore, it's a legal discrimination.
She said they can do that. I said,
yes,
listen, you got a nice problem. You're too beautiful.
Yep.
And, you know, her fiance kind of laughed. I mean, he's the lucky one, but they didn't get that apartment. They had to go somewhere else.
That's correct.
So, I mean, cops are a big thing, especially in our area, because we just mentioned off break that there are some really, I call them the train communities, Bronxville, Larchmont, Scarsdale, what else would there be? Where there's co-ops. Really, is that it? Pelham, for sure.
New Rochelle?
Even New Rochelle, but they're not the big Bronx with Scarsdale, Larchmont, Scarsdale. So, where, and that's the only way into those schools and those really tony communities for less than, it used to be $100-$150, it's really like less than $250,000?
Correct.
And get maybe a two-bedroom?
Maybe.
Right, so now you're getting into those schools, into the town, into the shop, into the, you know, cool club, and you're not spending $1.5 million.
Right.
So I know that Garth Road and Scarsdale, so that's why these communities will always be co-op driven, because it's the first, would you say it's the first time buyer, the, you know.
It can be entry level for those who are not loaded compared to what it takes to get into that neighborhood. And that could be anything. So, you know, yes, spending $250,000 in Larchmont is probably nothing in Larchmont, where I'll talk about Ossining, Barcliff area, and Ossining, you know, you can get a, you know, you still can get into a house in a condo, but there are co-ops in the Austin area that you can get for $50,000, $70,000, and $90,000. But we have had our share of clients who've been accepted by a bank. They have received their mortgage. And who's more income discriminatory than a bank these days?
Right.
A bank. So if they got accepted by the bank, why won't the co-op take them? And there's been quite a few that have been denied.
Well, you know, there's also, as you drive on a Garth Road or in Larchmont, I lived in one of the, I think it's called a colony. What's particularly disturbing, clients don't know this, is you like that building, you like that building. Well, that building comes with these four to six crazy people. That building comes with another. There's no uniformity. It's not the American League or the National League. It's no FICO. It's these people might have a bad day or might be wanting to go on vacation. They don't even meet in August. So, you, I mean, from a buyer, it must be particularly frustrating where each building has its own set of rules and nuances and gray areas.
Well, that's why in New York City, there's actually real estate agents that only do a couple of buildings.
Sure.
I mean, it's their building.
And that's their value proposition.
Yeah.
They help. I mean,
they know the co-op board application and the people there like the back of their hand. So they'd be the first one to be able to pre-screen. And for whatever reason, hopefully not discriminatory, they'll let you know whether you're getting that building.
They take them to lunch. But, I mean, Westchester, does that happen to typically the broker? Brokers assist these first-time or even these interested parties in buying co-ops?
Yeah, they'll buy the co-ops. A lot of them may not really understand the co-op application. They really kind of, oh, that's your attorney. Oh, we don't know anything about it. But the
right.
agents that do quite a bit in a building, you know, I've helped people get into a building in my area where, actually, I have two of them in the last 4 or 5 years, where they actually were in contract, got their mortgage, but got denied by the co-op board. I happened to get them as buyers. They really wanted to go in that building. We went into contract again. One of them was actually on the same unit. I helped them with their co-op application. Yeah, they got approved.
Well, okay, so it's feathered.
But here's the good news. That means they weren't denied based on any fair housing stuff, because I'll tell you, that hadn't changed. But the way that the co-op application and how they put in their income, and not that we skewed it wrong, they actually put it on the application wrong the first time. It didn't show strong enough.
They did not give themselves enough credit.
They didn't give themselves enough credit on all the stuff. So when we really did the co-op application, said, look, you really did it wrong. You messed yourself up. You really have this kind of income. Oh, then they went through. So if you really understand the process through the co-op, you can get through. But I will tell you, the co-ops are pretty, what I call the only legal way to illegally discriminate. Is the co-ops.
Sure, and you know, the irony behind co-ops is they were made to discriminate. They were made in the 40s, because there are all these, pre-war, just after the war. They were made to keep out people that they did not want in.
That's correct.
For whatever reasons in Manhattan. So now it's, and think about it, they've kept this up for 75, 80 years now.
But the world has changed.
Yeah, I mean, it might behoove a buyer, in order to avoid that process,
to buy a condo?
Yeah, to buy a condo. But yes, but in Manhattan, there's only like 10 or 15% condo, and their prices are insane. To find out maybe more about the board before just looking at the unit itself.
You know, I tell you, that's probably a great thing to say. I mean, if you're going into something like that, you should probably building shop before your unit shop, absolutely. Because there's even co-ops near us where we know that there are some boards that are more strict than others as far as just having minimum income requirements, where it's more than just what the bank would approve. So if a bank would say, look, we'll give you the loan if you're putting 10% down on this $55,000 co-op, So I'm sorry, on this co-op. So if you make $50,000 or $55,000 a year, that's okay. But the co-op may say, no, based on our formulas, you have to make $72,000 a year. Now that's legal.
Sure, that makes sense.
So if the co-op wants $72,000 a year and you know that up front, why would you go through the whole process if you make $61,000? Because the co-op board's not going to allow you, and has nothing to do with fair housing. So yeah, I would tell you, you know, building shopping is probably a good thing to do before you start walking in all the units.
And I think your position would be the strict minority position amongst brokers. They let's go shopping, and like they see what's available. They would never blow off a unit that is available if it fit their client's interests.
Well, if it fits their client's interests, but the agent really needs to know whether it's going to fit the co-op's minimum requirements, and again, outside fair housing. And there's a lot of things. And again, if a co-op has no musicians, no lawyers, and I can understand the no lawyers.
Well, they write letters and they have problems, sure.
You know, but if they have that, then why bother?
The co-ops always have the no bicycles in the hallway rule, too. You notice that?
Well, that's because most co-ops are actually usually one building with a lot of units, so there's a lot of individual people kind of converging on this one common area. In condos and stuff, it's a little different. But condos have issues with cars and parking. You know, they all have issues. It's a homeowners association.
Right. I had, when I left my co-op in Larchmont, they accused me and my then-girlfriend, now wife, of harboring an illegal dog. And we had my sister-in-law's dog about 3 times. She peed on the lawn about twice. And they wanted to hold back his security. I said, the dog does not live here. Yes, it came here. And I had to fight for a day to get the money back. It was crazy. But they, down to the dog, they were focused on if they made a burn mark on the grass.
It's their grass. We're not talking about marijuana now, are we?
No, it's their grass. No, this was turf, whatever it is. Right? Grass, exactly.
So I thought we were changing the Colorado marijuana law. I thought suddenly we shifted. That's legal now.
Yeah, that's another thing that's, you know, we're looking at one more topic and that's changing. And look, this is a very important subject, and it's interesting that as we get more of a progressive view, what do you think about this juxtaposition? As we get more and more progressive, there seem to be more and more protected classes or individuals.
Oh, absolutely. Westchester County, I think, added, and don't hold me to this if I get it wrong, but I think sources of income, I think that's less than 5 years old, I think. I could be wrong, but I know that's one of the newer ones. And in New York State, gender identity is new for 2016.
Well, that's fine.
But remember, that's not law. That's by executive order.
Okay, but we got, Scott, how much time?
3.5 minutes.
All right, so let's spend 2.5 on that. How would that be handled if that's such a – would you have a right to ask as a landlord, maybe with or without a broker, how the prospective tenant feels that day, more masculine or feminine? I mean, I'm dying for this to really happen.
I couldn't answer
that. I wanted this to happen in your brokerage.
Yeah,
I want you to handle this.
I'll just say, we can't handle this. We just closed for the day. I don't know if it's about feeling that. I think it's probably more for the Caitlyn Jenners of the world.
Then you mean something kind of official things have happened?
Right, or I guess so. This is so new, I don't even have all the, pardon the pun, the black and white answers.
Wow.
I don't know. This is really new. You know, what's the legal definition of gender identity that the governor now came down to with executive order. Well, when you let me know.
You look at the procedural history of that. Maybe it's legislation. Maybe it's just an order. But, you know, let's really quick. What are the damages? What's the downside? What would someone, if they claim they were harmed, are there statutory? I mean, what could.
Well, you'll be sued. So the question is, it's probably up for the courts to decide what the damages are. So whether it's monetary, whether, you know, they lost out on that and that was only $1,400 a month and now the next best thing is now $2,100 a month. So, you know, who knows?
Compensatory. I don't know. That's a really open area of what's the exposure liability that the landlord or even the seller runs.
Right. Well, that's even the thing with military status. I mean, a lot of people wanted to discriminate against the military because they can go out to, you know, serve, and who's going to be paying rent? Well, unfortunately, you can't worry about that. You can't discriminate against people with military status. So there's a lot of things out there. It's very interesting. Let's put it that way.
I tell you, this must be the field that consumers have the least information concerning, and the brokers have a lot more responsibility than I think they're even aware.
Oh, that's very true.
I know you as a broker, but what would you say the general, I don't mean any of your competitors or maybe those in other states, do brokers spend enough time on training their agents? Are agents equipped?
Not on this. Not even close. The, most of them will know the race, color, religion, sex, but when it really gets down to it, not even close.
Wow. That's a real potential liability hotspot for...
And it can harm everybody.
Wow. And especially when we're in our new age of enlightenment and a kinder, gentler nation, we're wondering, you know, there's a lot here. One more minute. So I want to thank Mr. Seiden, Mark Seiden, for coming out. He's an asset to our real estate communities. I'm sure your clients appreciate your expertise and your knowledge and your willingness to share. We do too. This is the kind of thing that we do at the Real Estate Revolution. I know Victoria would be proud of the work we did tonight and getting this quality, competent information, the type of information that consumers can really use. They learned a bit. And we're going to have this up on the web. And Tim, you want to say, how can we reach you, Mr. Seiden?
The best place is my website, www.homeman.net, HOMEMAN.net.
.net. You can reach me, 914-879-8411, Scott Forsino. Tim, where will these be found on the web?
Best place to find it is homesearchtv.com and /revolution.
And that's in the homesearchtv.com. Backslash?
Revolution.
Revolution. That's R-I-V-A, Lucian. And we, until next week, we will have a Jay from Zillow on. Thank you very much. Take good care.
From the Entergy Studios, it's News Talk 12.